Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, the mega football edition of the show, breaking down all of our best bets for the biggest games in college football and the NFL. Great big show planned today. Brad Powers will be by in a matter of seconds here in the second half of the show. All of our best bets for the Sunday NFL games. If you guys are new to the show, if you are not subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel, make sure you do so. Smash that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content up on the channel right now. Best bets for UFC 306, big event going down in Las Vegas tomorrow night. That video is up, so make sure you check that out. And if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on X, on YouTube. Let us know what you like in college football, what you like in the NFL here this weekend. Okay, very active live chat. Dolphins are going to be fine. It's early. Tannehill, indeed, Tannehill is available. Mark S. says, sorry about your Dolphins, Joe. I'd give you our QB for the Falcons, but I don't think you'd want him. I'll take Michael Penix Jr. Okay, so let's talk about it before we bring Brad in. I'll cry about my Dolphins here, and then the rest of the show will be fun. I absolutely promise. So dark days, indeed, as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, and there have been a lot of dark days as a fan of this team over the past couple seasons, specifically because of the Tua concussion stuff, watching this play out right before our very eyes. It's a little disturbing. And, of course, the roller coaster nature of this team. So big picture, real life stuff. You got to check out the situation here with Tua. I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to join the masses calling for his retirement, but that very well could be the case here. Four concussions in the NFL over the past couple seasons. Who knows if he had any at Alabama, some at high school, the high school level potentially. But you take a look at this guy, 26 years old. He's got a couple of young kids at home. If he did walk away right now, he'd be walking away with a good chunk of guaranteed money, be able to live well beyond his means. And I know at 26 years old, no one wants to cut their career short as a professional athlete at that point. But I do think he'd be able to look back on his career and all the success in college, national championship at Alabama, had some adversity in the NFL, bounced back pretty good from that, led the league in passing yards last season. But I don't know. Time will tell. Who knows with these concussions? It is kind of scary, but, you know, he could walk away and he'd be absolutely set for life for him and his family. So we'll see what happens there. From a football perspective, what are the Miami Dolphins going to do? Is this going to be a lost season? I think it was wildly irresponsible that they went through the season with Skylar Thompson as their backup quarterback. You see him just airmailing the ball all over the field there last night. So the season is going to be a complete and total write-off. If you're going to be rolling out Skylar Thompson as your starting quarterback, you might as well start preparing for the draft. So if that's not the option, what is? There's no option here at quarterback for the Dolphins where people are, oh, that's awesome. That's the way to go. It's probably going to be Ryan Tannehill. You got to wonder why he's still a free agent. Or what I would do, I'd call the Pittsburgh Steelers. Say, you want to get rid of one of those guys? Russell Wilson, bring him in to be a game manager maybe? Justin Fields, see what you got there? Yeah, so the situation absolutely sucks in terms of how the game played out on Thursday Night Football. I told you guys, it's a movie we've seen before with the Miami Dolphins, right? They give you a little bit of hope, and that's what they did in week one, big comeback win versus the Jaguars, and they lay down when a good team comes to town. That should have been the easiest bet of the year. I took the over on the game, got burned badly on that, by the way. But yeah, you might be able to tell, not a great night for me as a Miami Dolphins fan. So enough about that. Let's get into the action here. College football. Let's start with that. Let's bring in our guy, Brad Powers, down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, what do you think the Dolphins should do at quarterback here?
Oh, they're in a tough spot, to say the least. It can't be any worse than what we saw in the second half of that game. My goodness, you mentioned betting the over. How about no points in what, the final 24, 25 minutes of that game? My goodness.
That was rough. That was rough. I stayed away from the side, as I tend to do in Dolphins games, but I thought, hey, this looks like an awesome spot for the over. I was feeling pretty good about it and said, well, at least my bet's going to hit. Nope, not the case at all. The juice sucked completely out of that game and Tua went down. Okay, so we'll see how that develops here over the weekend. I guess he's going to be back at the facility seeing the doctors there today, but we probably won't see him for a little while anyways. Okay, so enough NFL talk until the midpoint of the show. We will get into our best bets for Sunday, but let's get into college football here. Not the sexiest slate here this weekend, Brad, but we do have some games of note. So let's just rip through these, and you do have a best bet for the end of the segment. This game tonight, it's the start of the Friday night games on Fox. Good looking matchup here. Two ranked teams, Arizona, Kansas State, both teams off 2-0 starts. Kansas State favored by 7. Total on the high end, bet up to 61 points. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I lean Kansas State. In fact, right now, some money just came in on Arizona. Lines off a key number of 7. I like Kansas State. You can disagree with the line move. I'll lay the 6.5 now at the current number on Kansas State. And reason being is I just trust them more. Their head coach has been there longer. I mean, this is Arizona's coach's third game, and I haven't liked what I've seen so far from Arizona. In fact, they've been a 4-touchdown and 5-touchdown favorite in their first two games and have been outscored at halftime in those two games, if you look at the combined score. And Manhattan, Kansas is an underrated place to play. It's pretty hostile. Doesn't get enough credit in the markets, in my opinion. So I trust Kansas State, especially. It's all about numbers. I'll lay the 6.5 now.
Okay, let's move to the early window here on Saturday. A big game on ABC. Kind of a big game, I guess. LSU, South Carolina. Tigers down inside of 7 now to a -6.5, total of 48. South Carolina destroyed Kentucky last week. They were a 9.5-point underdog in that game and absolutely obliterated them. So what do you think? Another upset in store here this weekend?
No, but I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, as surprising as Notre Dame's outright upset of getting upset by Northern Illinois, just as surprising was, South Carolina, just not that they outright won, but they dominated Kentucky. I'm not sure it's repeatable this week. Obviously, LSU's offense is much better, especially in the passing game. The unfortunate thing for LSU is there can be some weather, some rain in this one, but I'm not buying South Carolina's offense. Their quarterback Sellers is in the bottom 10. You look at QBR and EPA. So I'll take Nussmeier and LSU. And Brian Kelly wins these types of games. So I'll lay the 6.5 on the road.
Okay, maybe a competitive looking game here down in Florida. Texas A&M in 10. A&M favored by 3, a total of 46.5. Interesting note coming into this one. The Aggies have been an outright loser in 10 straight road games.
Wow.
Yet they are favored here. What do you think of the matchup?
Well, like a lot of matchups, there's not a lot of sexy matchups as far as, the media narratives this week, but there's a lot of competitive games, price games that we're going to learn a lot about these teams, at least of what they can be this year. This is one of them. The problem with this one is I don't think there's a lot of value on the side because there's quarterback question marks for both teams. Florida looks like they're going to play both quarterbacks. DJ Lagway, who started last week. Mertz, who started the opener but got hurt, looks like he'll come back. Connor Wegman, shockingly, the Texas A&M quarterback got put on the injury report yesterday is questionable. So when you got a lot of injury questions and question marks overall at quarterback, what do? And you got some possible weather, you go under 46.5 for me.
Okay, let's move to Saturday night. ABC, Georgia, big favorite versus that Kentucky team who was upset quite badly last week. Georgia favored by 21.5, total of 44. These teams played last season. Georgia absolutely annihilated them. 51-14, 15 straight wins on the road here for the Bulldogs. You think they can cover that big number?
I'm not wild about it because, I mean, just when you want to zig, team will zag, oh, this looks easy. I mean, if South Carolina can win by 25 at Kentucky, certainly the number one team in the country can go in and do the same. And look at what Georgia did against Kentucky last year. However, I look at the previous three or four meetings, and Kentucky historically played Georgia tough under Mark Stoops, and it's usually a lower scoring, grind it out type of game. I think Kentucky's going to switch up quarterbacks, play Wimsatt, who runs it, so they'll control the clock. But I still am not wild about taking the big number here. I prefer the under in this one. I just think this is a workmanlike performance for Georgia, and I just don't see a pathway for Kentucky's offense to have much success. So let's go under 44 here.
Okay, next up, Brad's favorite team, the Colorado Buffaloes, potentially in a bounce back spot here, taking on Colorado State. The Buffaloes favored by 7. We have a total of 57.5, just 10 points there for the Buffaloes last week. You think they can bounce back on the offensive side of the ball here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, Colorado State defensive front is nowhere near what Nebraska was last week. And I'm not even sure Colorado State defensively is as good as North Dakota State. So what I like about Colorado in this matchup is their passing offense with their athletes in space against a Colorado State secondary that I question. So believe it or not, for the second week in a row, I am taking Colorado here. I'm laying the 7 on the road. But I got it better be a bounce back performance, Joe, because if they don't win this game, I mean, it's a totally combustible situation where, I mean, it could be a 2-10, 3-9 type of season for the Buffs this year.
Yeah, 1-7 in their last 8 games, I believe. Yep. Straight up, not against the spread. Okay, so Brad has a best bet to add. So typically, if you guys aren't familiar with Brad's appearances on the show, the best bets usually drop those early in the week. Brad's with us every single Monday. He gave out a handful of picks on Monday's show. If you're interested in what they are, go back and watch the show on Monday. Very easy to find here on the Coverage YouTube channel. Just go to live and you'll see it a couple of videos down. So go check that out. Okay, so we have Boston College taking on Missouri. Both teams undefeated, both straight up and against the spread. Missouri hasn't allowed a point yet this season. Boston College pitched a shutout last week. Despite that, we have a total of 54 points. What do you think of that?
I'm going under, not just because of what I've seen from both teams' defenses, but I also seen a BC team that's playing number 130 in the country as far as tempo plays per minute. So they're slowing it down, grinding it out, running the football. Missouri's got some question marks at the wide receiver position. Their wide receiver's going to play. They're really good, but they've been banged up. So I question that. And both teams' defenses look competent. I just think it's a kind of a grinded out game. They feel each other out a little bit here. Both teams are stepping up in competitions from what they faced so far. Under for me. Seems easy. Maybe too easy, but I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite totals of the week. There's a lot of overs I like in that. I don't have a lot of best bets because there's a lot of overs I like in the South, but for the first time this year, weather could be an issue. It could be some significant rain in a lot of places in the South, almost the entire South.
Okay, I'll throw this at you now, a non-sports betting related question. Oh. I kind of put this out there on Twitter or X this morning, half jokingly, but this is something that's been in my mind as a Miami Dolphins fan over the years. When is it acceptable for a grown man who is a hardcore fan of a team to just change favorite teams? Is it ever acceptable?
That is an excellent question and pretty pertinent to me because I'm a Notre Dame fan and I've been asking the last couple of years whether it's okay for me to change. I'm in my early 40s. I've been rooting for the same team for 30 years, but it's been, I started rooting for the team probably similar to you. They were at the top of their game. This is a Super Bowl contender. In Notre Dame's case, a national title contender. And then nothing since I started rooting for them as a kid. I mean, how much more can you take? 33 decades of this. So I think it's acceptable. I haven't done it yet personally, but I do. If anybody were to say, I don't want to be a Dolphins fan anymore, I don't want to be a Notre Dame fan anymore, I would say, and you're in your 40s, by all means, try to have a happy rest of your life.
The thing is, you have to feel it. That's where I've been at. Like when the Dolphins, like when they have that game last night, I feel it. I sleep horribly. When they score 70 points against the Broncos, it feels absolutely fantastic. You're flying high. So you can't just fake it. You can't, oh, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan all of a sudden. How nice would that be? And my fan, I have no rhyme or reason why I picked the Dolphins as a kid here, Brad. I could have jumped on the Patriots at the start of their bandwagon. I'm up here on the East Coast of Canada, not far from the border in Maine. So a lot of people up in this neck of the woods, they just jumped right on that bandwagon. And it's funny you say that about age. Growing up, my dad was a Minnesota Vikings fan. I have no reason why he was a fan of that team. But I come home one day and he's wearing a Patriots hat. He jumped on the bandwagon. And why would, as a senior citizen, then I come home another time, another year, he's wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl champion hat. So we just jumped on the Brady bandwagon and very much enjoying watching the football. So that is maybe how you do it, right? But yeah, I don't know if we're there yet. Once upon a time, they were talking about moving an NFL team to Toronto. That's not going to happen anymore. But I would think this was during the Tannehill era. They used to do exhibition games up in Toronto. And I would always think that's my out as a Dolphins fan.
If I move a
team up to Canada, I can just jump on that team. National pride, right? But, okay, yeah, we'll see how the Dolphins make it the rest of the way. It's not looking good here. Very efficient segment here, Brad, today. We thank you for joining us. Guys, don't forget to check out Monday's episode of Before You Bet. Brad will be here. We'll do a little recap about what we see over the weekend. And of course, he will drop his best bets for week four. Then, Brad, thank you for joining. Best of luck with your bets. And we will catch you on Monday.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Take care.
Yes, sir. Absolutely flying here today. The live chat, absolutely flying. Hard to keep up with here. Closing in on 1,400 live viewers as we now shift gears to the National Football League. And we bring in our guy, Jingles. Both some tough luck, I would say, in that game from a betting perspective. That's obviously secondary when you're talking about the Tua stuff. But, I mean, we're doing a betting show here, so a lot of betting results were kind of tied to the fact that it was a blowout and just the juice got completely sucked right out of that game. So I know a lot of cook bettors would have been happy last night, but you know, Waddle, who I was on, of course, that Josh Allen passing yards, which people are giving me a hard time about. Guys, that was tied more to the fact that it was a blowout, not because he doesn't have Gabe Davis to throw to anymore. Your thoughts on the game last night? Pretty rough situation, pretty tough watch, right?
No, the Blitz went 2-0. I'll take that. That's happy times there, considering everything that happened. Before he bet plays went 1-1, and I'll absolutely take that. And it's really disappointing because we had that Tua game script ready to go over 32.5, and he was just dinking and dunking all the way up the field. Buffalo playing too high, and he was just going underneath the entire time. So that didn't come through. I had Achane for 100 rushing yards, finished with 96. Thank you very much. That was plus 800. I missed out on that. I had Cooks 100-plus total yards in a TD. That was 4 yards short at plus 350. But I've been betting so much that these things really don't hurt me as much anymore. And I don't know if I'm just dead inside, honestly, Joe, or if it's just – you have to do that, right? Like, can you really get angry at the situation as a better?
No, these bad beats just kind of roll off of me now. They used to really sting and you would, you know, impact your sleep and whatnot. But yeah, the volume we're betting at, you got to learn to get over it. So before we get into the best bets here, we have 9 of them for Sunday and a couple extras too. What would you do to fill out the quarterback room for the Miami Dolphins? Is it as simple as getting the old guy, Ryan Tannehill, to come back to town?
No, it's just lose, fold up shop.
Mail it in?
Yeah, mail it in. You're done. Man. You're done. You're done.
Honestly, I don't think they can because of that rot. There's a lot of big guys on that roster getting paid a lot of money, man.
They can't. They've spent too much money. You can't. I mean, what are you going to do? Bring in Ryan Tannehill? What are you going to do? How much is that going to improve? Sure, do it. Okay, you want Justin Fields? You want Russell Wilson?
You right? have to like, try because look at the Cleveland Browns last year. They had 5 separate quarterbacks or something like that, and they still end up making the playoffs. Right, so they got to give it a go. The owners, the guy's like 85 years old. They're just not going to close up shop. They literally do have to do something though because they don't have enough quarterbacks on the roster.
I mean, Joe Flacco can save another franchise. What about that?
Joe Flacco? Well, I don't think the Colts want to give him up. The Colts are actually smart because they have Richardson, a injury-prone quarterback, so they bring in a valid backup, unlike the Miami Dolphins with Skylar Thompson.
The Skylar Thompson playoff game was probably the worst playoff quarterback. What's that? He played, 2 years ago in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was a wild card game.
Wild card game.
The Dolphins almost won that one.
Yeah, okay, no. I mean, so it's funny. Sure, maybe that's why he's got a leash, but like it was awful. It was honestly awful watching. I mean, there it is. Can't write off the season with all the money they spent, but like in the same sense, Action Sports Central, like they've spent that money. I don't know, whatever. I think your season's done. Yeah, it was just yesterday. I'm like, great bet on Buffalo, Miami, 1-2 in the division, and how quickly things turn.
You never know, though, with these Jets and mix New England Patriots. They might not win another game all season. Last note on the Dolphins. They're the only team in the league that's going to outgain a team by over 100 yards and lose by 21 points all season. Okay, enough Dolphins talk. It's getting too depressing. Let's get into the Sunday action here. Let's have a little fun. Bring up the energy here. I'm going to get us started in Baltimore, where I do like the Ravens to bounce back. -8 with the Dinky. Las Vegas Raiders in town. So the Ravens, after a loss last season, were absolutely fantastic. 4-0 straight up and against the spread with a win margin of 17.75 points. Don't be scared of the big number. Big wins were part of the Ravens' DNA last season as they rattled off 10 separate double-digit wins. I do think this is a great bounce-back spot for the Ravens' defense. Yeah, they're probably going to take a little bit of a step back. Defensive coordinator took the job in Seattle. But let's not judge them because they lost on opening night in Kansas City versus Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Pretty big downgrade in opponent here. Gardner Minshew and Antonio Pierce. And the game situation massively favors Baltimore here. Extended rest at home, taking on a Las Vegas team, playing in the early window, traveling from Las Vegas after playing in Los Angeles. So a lot of travel there early in the season for the Raiders. So give me the Ravens to get back on track. Next up, let's go up to New England where the Seahawks are in town. What are you thinking here?
To steal Brad Powers' line from last week, I think New England's bellies are full. They got their first win, right? And it's a spot where now you have a first-time head coach. Like, that's a difficult spot for a coach to get them as hungry in this spot. I know there's lots to talk about. It's a cross-country flight for Seattle, but this is a Seattle team that's defense is only going to get better the longer this season goes under Mike McDonald, graded as a top 3-5 offense in week one. Obviously had a pretty big advantage at home at Lumen versus rookie in Bo Nix, but they held him to 1.6 average completed air yards per completion. That is bananas. The next worst was Jaden Daniels at 2.6, so substantial. Bo Nix found nothing downfield. I have Seattle 15th and New England at 27th in my power ranking, so pretty substantial difference between these two teams. There's some issues that's going to be pretty scary some in the interior of the New England line. Sydney So didn't play last week. He's likely out again. That's their starting left guard, and their rookie right guard, Laden Robinson, was limited Thursday. Obviously, Kenneth Walker's injury is a little worried, but if you're looking at any position, it's probably that position that probably means the least. We saw what it cost CMC in terms of price to the line. So give me Seattle -3 in a game that it could get ugly on the other side.
Okay, let's go Seahawks. Okay, let's go to Detroit, where I'm going to say let's go offenses with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 10, total of 51.5. I'm not scared of the high total. I am going over here. Now, the Bucs typically have a reputation as a pretty good defense. They're going to be in a lot of trouble here, though, on Sunday. Cluster injuries in their secondary. The whole secondary is basically wiped out here. Now they're in Detroit against one of the top pass attacks in the NFL. Expect the Lions to have a big day offensively. Speaking of big days offensively, check out the Bucs last week. 37 points. Baker Mayfield, 4 touchdown passes, completed 80% of his passes, maybe his best game as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And of course, this is a rematch from the divisional round of the playoffs. Tampa Bay's offense was great in that game. Over 400 yards of offense on 6.8 yards per play. And I know a lot of disappointed people last week, including myself on Sunday Night Football. A lot of people on the over for that one. The offenses didn't quite live up to it, but pull back, take a look at the bigger sample size. The Lions have gone over 9 of their last 13 games. 9 of those games hit 50 or more points. So give me the over in Detroit with the Bucs in town. Baker Mayfield. Let's go, baby. Okay, next up, I think probably the sexiest game on the board here. A lot of people looking forward to this one. So much so, in fact, that we each have a bet for it. Of course, I'm talking about Giants versus Commander. Let's go. What do you like for this one?
I like points. Like I just don't like the defenses, right? Like, Washington had all year to prep for Baker Mayfield. And what happened? Baker Mayfield drops the biggest week one performance by a quarterback since 2018. Both defenses ranked bottom 5 in EPA per dropback in week one. They face Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Obviously, a little worried about a Daniel Jones-led offense, but this is a point where we're buying the dip. Absolutely. Just think about how much extra work. Put yourself in Daniel Jones's shoes. Everybody hates you. Your job's on the line. If there is one week you're going to put in the extra work to figure things out offensively, it's this week. It might not be for week 3, but this week for sure, he's going to put in the extra work. Malik Nabers limited, but expected to play per Brian Daboll. So One thing that's going to be a big difference in this is the red zone play. Obviously, stalling out would be brutal, but you have two QBs who can score in the red zone with their legs. Jaden Daniels with two touchdowns last week. Daniel Jones, maybe not as explosive now coming off the injury, but can certainly rush into the end zone there.
Let's go Giants. I like offense in this game, too. I'm going to bet it a little bit differently, though. I'm going to take the Giants on their team total to go over it. It's set at 20.5, and a lot of this is due to the Commanders' defense. Now, I know they got Dan Quinn in there, and maybe they'll get better down the road. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, though. The Commanders have allowed at least 27 points in 9 straight games, an average of 34.4 points per game allowed to their opponents in these 9 games. Of course, they got cooked by 37 in Tampa Bay there last week. So look at New York in this matchup. Last time they played the Commanders last season, they scored 31 points. That tied a season high for them. Now, obviously, a lot of people down on the Giants due to that week one performance. They were embarrassing on their home field. Maybe history will repeat itself here. Last season, week one, they were embarrassing on their home field. They scored 0 points against the Dallas Cowboys. They come out the next week. They go on the road. They score 31 points in Arizona. So they have shown that ability to bounce back. That game was with Daniel Jones at quarterback here as well. So I do think they can get to at least 21 points versus this Commanders defense. Next up, touchdown bet, I believe.
Gus, betting Carolina. I'm looking at the line. Carolina's moved from 6 to 5. I mean, it's not a massive move, but who's out?
They might be worse than last year.
I know. It's the same thing, right? And defensively, they're so much worse. Derek Brown's gone. I mean, there's injuries at linebacker and Jewel, Clowney. Like, there's some massive injuries, and I don't see the line movement. Anyway, back to the touchdown stuff. This is just maybe the best touchdown prop, I think, so far of the year. I mean, Joe Mixon at plus 110 in week one was a good one. But Gus Edwards anytime at plus 185, it's a huge number. Run first offense. Why? A lot of people talking about why the Chargers can't cover, just because they're not an offense that's built to win to margin. But they're certainly an offense built around running. Can't go wrong with either guy scoring a touchdown. But I'm going to take the goal line back at plus 185. Like I said, lots of injuries. Derek Brown, arguably the best at his position in all of football, led all DL in tackles last year. Massive loss. LA's just going to run the ball. Joshua Palmer's questionable. It's going to be an absolute just a ground and pound from the Chargers, and getting any running back for a touchdown at that price is a steal. Take them both, but 185 for Gus for sure.
Okay, next up, ugly looking game in Tennessee. I hope we have an ugly looking result. I'm going to take the under on this total with the Jets in town. Number set at 41 and a half points. So Tennessee's defense might be pretty good. They added a lot of talent in the offseason. That might have flown under the radar a little bit. And that defense was on full display here in week one. Great job holding the Bears to 2.8 yards per play. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Titans might be in contention. They will be in contention for having the worst offense in the NFL. I don't think Will Levis will be a starter for very much longer here in the league. He cannot be trusted. I think they're going to go run heavy in this one, really milk that clock. I guess the jury's still out on Aaron Rodgers. He certainly didn't play bad in week one. I don't think anyone would make a case for him being very dynamic in that game. And what about this awesome, this great Jets defense that I keep hearing about? Oh, Joe, they're a top three defense. Didn't you know? They didn't look very good in week one, but I think they are a good defense. I think this is a good bounce back spot for them against dinky little Will Levis there in Tennessee. So I think it's going to be a low scoring game. So give me the under there. Last bet for you, the man with one of the best names in all of football, Brock Bowers. You like him this weekend?
I do. I'm just laughing at Brandon Hellman's comment. It says, the Bills switch to a run-first scheme. Trey Diggs. Diggs goes to Houston. Texas switch to a run-first scheme. Joe Mixon with 30 carries last week was absolutely insane. Probably more run for him this week in the Sunday night game. But going to the rookie, I mean, they drafted Michael Mayers last year early. Guess what? Bowers comes in, doubles his routes in week one. I got this at 195. I still like it in the milestone market at plus 180. His line is 3.5, -130 to the over if you kind of just want something like that. But I'm going to go a little bigger on this side because I think it's in the range of outcomes. Gardner Minshew, noodle arm. The Baltimore defense, slightly regression without its DC from last year. But just coming out, like, we don't see tight ends look this great in week one or just in volume. He was third in tight end targets and second in receptions with 6, 25% target share. 5 catches is all we need in a game where they're going to be playing from a ton from behind, as you mentioned earlier, and it's just going to be more dinking and dunking from a noodle arm quarterback.
Okay, next up, let's go to Kansas City. Good-looking game here in the late afternoon slate. The Chiefs playing host to the Cincinnati Bengals. Do I like the Bengals to bounce back? I absolutely do not. Give me the Chiefs to cover this number. -5.5 here. So this offense really looks to be back in top form. 7.1 yards per play versus Baltimore last week. That tied them for the league lead. Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice look to be a nice 1-2 punch on top of Kelsey. Of course, they have the extended rest coming into this game. Let's not forget the Bengals had one of the worst defenses in all of the NFL last season. They were dead last in yards per play allowed. And I think Kansas City can smell blood here. They're not going to play down to this opponent in this situation. So week two of the NFL season, they're on their home field. This is a rival team. Sometimes the Chiefs will sleepwalk through the regular season. Sometimes they will play down to the competition. I think they smell that blood. A lot of drama here with the Bengals. It looks like T. Higgins won't be on the field. Joe Burrow, I don't know, is he a little nicked up maybe? Didn't look good in week one. So give me the Chiefs to take care of business.
Did you hear the bulletin board material they gave them to Cincinnati saying they're the best team in the AFC? Like, why would you – like, just don't wake the beast. Like you said, Kansas City might just sleepwalk to get there and do what they do in the playoffs. But when a division like that, like a rival says something like that, no. Now you fired up. Now you fired up something dangerous.
Of all people, it's Ja'Marr Chase.
I know.
Too. Chase, shouldn't get your contract figured out. Bud, that's kind of hovering over this team. Maybe a big distraction for them. Maybe that's why you lost at home last week as the biggest favorite of the week. Okay, teaser bet of the week. I'm going to do one of these for every show. You guys know I like the Baltimore Ravens at -8. So I'm going to tease them down to -2. And I'm going to pair them with the team that New York Giants, baby.
Are overcommitted on the Giants this week.
We're going to take them through the 3, through the 7. I think at the very least they can keep this one tight. It's also a fade of the Commanders here. Like, I know people are down on the Giants, but the Commanders absolutely stink. So 6-point teaser, Ravens and Giants, and a bonus bet that didn't make the cut for my bets I get into the graphics. I'm going to go with the Rams here, +1.5 in Arizona. 9 straight covers in Arizona for the Rams. This is going to be a really desperate swap for them. They have the San Francisco 49ers on deck next week. They do not want to start 0-3. Sean McVay is excellent after a loss, a 60% cover percentage. Since 2017, that's the best in the NFL of any team in that span. And yes, there are some concerns on the offensive line, obviously, for the Rams in this game. But I don't know if the Cardinals have the weapons on defense to really exploit that. So I'll take the Rams to bounce back there as well. John Mellor, did you guys see the video of Burrow trying to hold a water bottle? Yeah, there was something that did. What was going on there? Something the media was trying to get something out of him?
No, he just went to the bench and tried to pick up a water bottle off the ground, and it looked like the water bottle weighed 8,000 pounds and he couldn't pick it up. He picked it up, but it looked like his some sensory issues there in the old hand, and you'd think maybe something's been dragging on. So, and you just saw him like squeezing his hand the whole time. I mean, we're not playing doctor, but it's something seriously to worry about. And if there was talk about, like, man, he's maybe not as good as a quarterback as we think he is.
And well, people, you know, started like a lot of it with Burrow, like he hasn't quite been himself last year, and a lot of, Burrow keep getting a pass? Why you keep giving him a pass? And now they're starting to hear some rumblings. He's dining out on that Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago. And maybe he is. He hasn't been good. And that defense was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season. But who knows? Are we overreacting to what we saw in week one? There appears to be a lot of red flags. So with the Cincinnati Bengals, and they are in a tough spot against Kansas City. They should keep their mouth shut and just go out there and play football. Okay, let's recap the plays here. If you're just tuning in, my best bets here, I like the Ravens -8, Bucks Lions over 51.5, Jets Titans under 41.5, Giants team total. Let's go Giants, man. A lot of support for them this week. Over 20.5 on their team total. I like the Chiefs to take care of business against the Bengals there.
I'll put on the Giants game, I think, as game. Like, I want to see it, because it's been the media talk all week, right? Like, I really want to see. It's the perfect litmus test. It's Daniel Jones versus the worst defense in football. Let's see how bad Daniel Jones really is. Tony C saying, want a recap of our picks. Recap those at the top, bud. Right? 1-1. I think I went 5-3 plus 2.46 units. Before you bet last week, we recap. Don't worry, we're all there. We are transparent. Let's go. Seahawks -3, -120. Giants, Washington. Before you bet is heavily invested in the Giants this week. Daniel Jones, let's go. Gus Edwards, big plus TD, plus 185. Dobbins, too, at plus 140 is a great play. And Bowers at 5 receptions, plus 180. If you're not crazy, just take the 3.5 at minus 120. He's going to get a lot of work from Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, also gave out, speaking of being heavily invested in the Giants, Ravens, Giants more. Teaser. You got to get the Giants through that 7-7.5. Ravens down to -2. And I like the Rams as a small underdog there, plus 1.5 in Arizona. Yeah, so I am in a hole to open the season here through a week and one Thursday night football game. The reverse hat trick last night, a little bit of bad luck, but a loss is a loss here, right? So we got to dig out of that. Hopefully start doing that here on Sunday. Just winding right down here. But guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. We have a lot of great content here. There's a lot going on in the sports world this weekend. Of course, college football. Tomorrow we have a live show with the fellas. You're going to want to check that out with Taco and Doug. Big UFC event tomorrow night in Las Vegas. We have a video up for our best bets for that one. It's myself and Ro breaking that down. Pound for Pound Picks is the name of that show. If you are not familiar with it, Jingles, any closing words for the viewers?
Sunday night football. Caleb Williams maybe looks good this week.
Okay. Not exactly a bold prediction that he maybe looks good. He might.
No, but like, I don't know. Like, his markets went down so much. Like, we talk about overreaction, 92 yards. I get it. Like, it was his first game, but we'll see how that offense goes when they play from behind. So, pretty excited about Sunday night football. Like Caleb Williams over carries, but let's hope we stay away from the injuries, because I don't think they really help anybody.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. Okay, so hopefully I get some better sleeps in than I did last night after watching the debacle from my Miami Dolphins. So I do have some sleep to catch up on this weekend. A lot of sports to watch. So I am very much looking forward to it. We want to thank you guys for tuning into the shows this week, and don't forget to check us out again next week, Monday right through Friday, covering everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Thank you guys for watching. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you again on Monday. Woo!